5, and we're going to be covering verses 15 through 18. The title of my message this morning is It's Time. As I was studying praying, I taking lots of notes, and this word time just kept coming to mind. No pun intended, time and time again. And I'm like, well, it's time. So Ephesians 5:15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly," or carefully, "not as fools, but as wise." 16, "redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Time, a precious asset that we all have. Some of us have a lot of time in our hands. Some of us don't have any time. I claim to be one of those that doesn't have time to do anything. I read this quote about time. It says, "A lot of people believe money is their most important resource, but we think they're misguided. Their most important resource is time. You can get more money through various avenues, but once time is gone, it's gone forever. You can't buy more or borrow more. So time is a limited resource that expires every day." I think that's very accurate. We don't have a time machine that we can go back in time. Basically, time never stops. Life goes on. And today is all we have. Tomorrow is not promised. We may have lots of years in front of us. We may have lots of hours in front of us. We don't know. But what we have now is time. And is a great resource, probably one of the most valuable ones. If you think about it, you go to work and your employer puts an hourly wage to you, right? Because time is money. If you're a salary, they give you a salary for the year for your time at work. If you ever dealt with attorneys, attorneys are very skilled professionals that they charge by the minute at times. Quarter of an hour, 5 minutes, and they have a clock. And when they start doing business, they charge you for every minute, every second. Rightfully so, right? But time is precious. Time is valuable. And time we have. Paul here to the Ephesians says, redeeming the time. The word redeeming says, by payment of a price to recover from the power of another, to ransom. Buy off, take what's yours. Redeem from the power of another, take back, get a hold of your time. Redeem your time. What is yours? What's been purchased? Get it back. We live in a culture in 2018 that technology is advancing so rapidly, all to save us time, to make things faster. If you think about it, you can now shop online for your groceries. You can go to Walmart or Kroger, and on their website, you can pick what you want and pay for it online. And then an hour or two later, they tell you when you show up to the back of the store, and there's somebody there with all your groceries that loads your car. Isn't it nice? And saves you what? An hour? Two? I have 4 kids. That's about 5 hours for me. Right? By the time you get them ready, get them in the car, drive, and then peel them off the shelves and put them in. It's a lot of time. We're saving time. Amazon, right? Who ever thought that you'd be buying things without touching them? You just look at them. Amazon now compares the pricing for you. You find the best deal, free shipping. If you have Prime, 2 days later, it shows up at your door magically. It's like, yes. We like that, don't we? I like it. The other day, we had a birthday party. We didn't get a gift. I'm like, oh, man, going to Target with 4 kids. That's a nightmare. Just no. So my wife, faithfully, Amazon, 2-day shipping. Behold, it's right there, the gift. We just got it from one bag to another. Here you go. We didn't have to go anywhere. I have nightmares about going to Costco. Who likes to go to Costco with 4 kids? I'm the guy that looks at the parking lot and counts kind of like the cars, like, oh man, it's packed in there. And then, you go through, you got 4 kids, you give them phones, you bribe them or threaten them, whatever, I use both. And then you're looking for the best deal. Oh, do we really need that? And of course, we don't, but we get it. And then at the end, there's pizza or ice cream or churros. And I said, oh, man, the food is it's all thawing out. We got to get in the car. It's a nightmare. I often say, to my wife, can I go by myself? Just give me a list. He's like, nope, you'll miss things. I'm like, oh, it's painful. Why? Because we like things faster. We like our time. In our society, you know, technology, everything is working towards making things faster. Think about internet, dial-up. Who had dial-up America Online? You know, with bing, bing, bing. And you couldn't be on the phone if somebody was online because, you know, now it's like megabits per second. Fast internet. Wi-Fi. Oh, your Wi-Fi is too slow, Mom. Or get off the internet. I'm downloading this. Think about it. It's all speed. You give a teenager a slow connection to the internet. Oh, you're in trouble. It's reality. See some of the young guys going, yeah, no, don't do that. But, you know, it's all geared towards taking our time. Think about our phones. A study was done in 2015 where it showed that young adults spent 5 hours a day on their smartphones. Guilty. I'm here. Think about it. Apps are being developed by oldest people all over the world to capture your time, to either, you know, Candy Crush, right? Everybody was obsessed with that game, or, you know, games and apps and, oh, save time. You got my time. You got my attention. There's a company in Germany, I believe, that came out with a robot lawnmower that you just charge it in your backyard and you program it from your phone through an app and it will start mowing your lawn. And you can do a geofence. It says, don't run over the dog or whatever. You can just mark it out on the map. And then you're like sitting inside drinking iced tea. It's 150 degrees outside and your lawnmower is doing all the work. To me, that's an hour and a half. I tell my wife, I'm going to mow the lawn, hour and a half. I'm like sweating. I'm like, hey, that's cool. I like that. I'm not going to pay for it. It's ridiculous expensive, but it's all to save us time. You say, I save you 2 hours of mowing the lawn. You got 2 hours to do whatever else. But that's the world we live in. Our time, it's money to people and it's money to us. Think about it. And I used to think that I didn't have time before I was married. Then I got married. I'm like, oh man, I really don't have time now. Then we had our first child. I'm like, wow, we really are out of time. We just can't do anything. Being no kids, we really did have time. Then you get two. Oh, man, one was nothing. What did we do with time when we had one contained right here? Now we got three. It's like, okay, our time is gone. Our life is over. And four is like, what's one more? It's with four kids, right? Keep four. It's like, I have four kids. I have no time. Yeah, makes sense. You know, it's like, where are they? You know, you got to hear those voices. So it's time. Time. There's a fridge now. This is old technology. There's a fridge now that you can text your family from the fridge screen when dinner's ready. What kind of size of a home you got to have in order to text somebody from your fridge? Well, come to the kitchen. You know, usually just yell or, you know, unplug the internet and your teenagers will, trust me, they're coming. They will show up. What happened? Wow. All to save time, all to take our time. And, you know, that's the generation that we live in. All these things fight for our time. Paul in Ephesians, he says, redeem the time. Redeem the precious asset that you have. Why? Well, here's the deal. Everybody's into something. I've been figuring this out. Took me about 37 years to figure this out, but everybody is into something. Somebody may be into gardening, somebody may be into cars, or I, at one time in my life, was really into golf. And I got a set of clubs, and I used to watch the PGA channel, and I would watch how the pros swing and follow through, and I would buy the gear to look like a golfer and walk like a golfer. I spent a lot of money and time trying to look like a golfer. I'm really bad, too. But I'm awful. But, you know, you get into something. Paul here is like, redeem the time that you have. Get into something, yes, get into the work of the kingdom because the days are evil. Now, he said that 2,000 years ago, the days are evil. There's nothing new under the sun. The days are evil today. Right? Solomon said that, nothing new under the sun. So, well, we're into something. We have time. We have this precious asset. And I believe with all my heart that the lawnmower, the fast internet, all this stuff to make things easier for us is because we naturally like a smooth ride. We like things to cruise. I mean, who likes things to be rocky and messy and trials and troubles and, right? I mean, when the streets, after a big storm here, I've noticed the streets, you know, tear up a big storm. And I don't see people driving on the lane that's all destroyed. I see people trying to avoid the potholes or going on the lane that's nice. Why? Because we like a smooth ride. You don't get in a plane and go like, oh, man, I hope this thing is bouncing all the way. No, you go like, I hope it's just sailing, cruising, right? We like a smooth ride. Why rock the boat? Why step up? Why get engaged in that ministry? Why reach out to those people? Why? Let's just stay here, comfortable. The kids are good. They're contained. The air conditioning is working. The lawnmower is doing its job. The dogs are smiling. It's all good. Don't rock the boat. That's what we like. Just being honest. Who doesn't like a smooth ride? But here's the deal. While we like that, it is danger. Is to be complacent, to be comfortable, to have the smooth sailing, I believe is a danger. Why? Here's the deal. When things are rocky and choppy, or you're full on charging for the kingdom, the ministry, eternal, you're busy. You're clinging to the Lord. You're depending on the Lord. Your work going about his business. You don't have a lot of time to waste and to get into things. Although I'm not coming down on hobbies or anything. If you have hobbies, praise the Lord. But, you know, we're there. You know, things are rough. We're there. We're engaged in the ministry. We're there. But when things are easy, it's like, well, things are pretty smooth. Why? Why? Let's just cruise. Here's the danger. When things are going smooth, we tend naturally to lower our guard. That's a natural tendency. You look at David. There in 2 Samuel 11. Remember David, giant slaying David, you know, shepherd, charging bears and lions and everything. Songs sang about him. Saul killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. Remember that, David? It says in 2 Samuel, you know, chapter 11, says that in the months that kings go to war, which was David's area, he was a warrior, David stayed back. And you guys probably know this story. He was cruising on the top of his castle. He saw through a window a lady, called her up. Death, pain, his family destroyed. Why? What was David supposed to be doing? Be in the front lines, charging. But you see, the kingdom, everything was working, so he stayed back. Trouble came. You look at Noah, and I'm not coming down on Noah at all because I love Noah. But Noah built an ark for 120 years or so, right? Then a floating zoo for over a year, taking care of animals. The land, Mount Ararat, everything is good. Go and populate. Good kids, you're good. We're done. He plants a vineyard. He drinks the fruit, the wine. He gets drunk, right? See, when he was building the ark, he didn't have time to plant a vineyard. Nothing wrong with gardening again. Please, if you're into planting, please don't go to church. Oh, the pastor told me I'm. But see, when we're busy for the kingdom, when we're redeeming the time that the Lord has given us, we don't get distracted. We don't lower our guard. We keep pushing forward. Let me tell you, when things are going smooth, it's a time when we have to dig deeper. Find another gear. Why? Because the days are evil. The days are evil. I admire people, older people that've been walking with the Lord, and they're still on fire and going for it. I admire people like that. I'm like, I want to be like them. Because they've been keeping, holding the line all throughout. So, you know, you look at now on the opposite side. You look at Caleb. There in Joshua 14, at 85 years old, he's like, give me the mountain. I'll charge. You would think, logically, in 2018, it's like, you're 85, Caleb. First of all, you spent 40 years walking around the desert, and you didn't do anything wrong. It was the other 10 that brought the bad report. Now you're here, 85. Dude, chill out. Just relax. It's good. No, he's like, I won the mountain. I'll charge it. Let's go fight. I'm as strong at 85 as I was when I was 40. So let's go. You look at Job. Job chapter 1, blessed man, righteous man. Even God said it. There's nobody like him. He had 10 kids. He had wealth. He had health. Every day, the Bible says in Job chapter 1 that he will offer sacrifices for his kids in case they would have sinned against the Lord. Charging when things are going the way they're supposed to. Caleb and Job are great examples of those that kept going. Dig deeper. Don't lower your God, but keep it up. Because we have time. And time is all we have. Don't slow down. Keep going. Next page. Okay. 12 years ago, I was looking for the job, and I landed the job, and I was about to be married to my wife, and obviously. And then my car got totaled, so I got the truck that I really wanted. And I'm like, man, things are rolling. I got the truck, I got the lady, I got the job. And I'm driving to work one morning. And it's one of those things when you go like, okay, that wasn't me. That I'm not that good. I'm driving to work, and I'm realizing everything. And something so deep in my heart, the Lord put in there, says, now that you have it all is when you need me the most. Now, have it all, quote unquote, because we know it's just material things. But I'm like, that stayed with me. 12 years later, that sticks with me. Because we need the Lord, his wisdom to manage what we have, our time and resources. And you know, it's like we're always looking for rest. We're always looking towards when this is going to end, when it's all going to be all smooth sailing. Trust me, as a child of God, you will get rest. It's called heaven. You will get, sin will be dealt with. No longer you will have to fight your flesh and tendencies. You're going to be in heaven with him forever. You don't have to worry about lions. They're going to be lions in the land right there. By the way, I hate snakes. I don't have to worry about them in heaven. Yes. Not cool. Being in Texas, I get really scared of snakes, okay? I am. I tell my kids, don't go to the backyard. There are snakes. Put on your shoes. And they put those shoes on so quickly. I'm like, snakes. Something about snakes. If you like snakes, I'm cool, good for you. But, the devil was a snake, okay? So I don't want snakes. But you know what I mean? It's like we're going to heaven. We're going to get all the rest we want and then some. But while we're here on earth, this is all we have to make an impact for eternity. Our labor may not be, the fruit may not be seen in a lifetime, but in heaven it is. We're working towards eternity. We're not working for the temporal. There's 8 billion people in the world today, or so. There's today, right now, there's 3 plus billion people watching a soccer game. By the way, I'm taping it at home. And there's 2 teams. There's 22 guys chasing a ball for an hour and a half. Yes, 3 billion people watch that. I love it. And one of the teams is going to win. Please, if you know, don't tell me. And they're going to get the gold trophy, the World Cup, and they're going to lift it, and they have all the lights and everything, and everybody's going to know their names, those 11 players that win, and they're going to get contracts, they're going to get money. Guess what? A couple months, a couple weeks from now, who are they? Where are they? It's a fading glory. See, temporal things, the glory of men is fading. It's passing. Eternal things, the glory of the Lord is eternal, is moving forward. It doesn't slow down. It's like it's there. Are you with me? So while the world is watching, 8 billion people, 3 or plus or more watching this game, man, there is something for the Lord to be done for the Lord in a world with 8 billion people, don't you think? Put it in perspective, there's 300 plus million in the United States. Can you wrap your head around 8 billion in the world? That's a lot of people that need Jesus. That's a lot of people that we need to be praying for. And, I've been just looking at things in my own life, in my own walk. And I've been sensing this kind of different sense in the air, like something's coming. Like the fields are ready. The harvest is plentiful. It's like something's coming. It's like almost tangible. I'm no prophet or anything like that, but it's like something is different. I met with 3 guys just the other night, and we just got together, and they just wanted to get together and read the Bible and pray at a Starbucks. And just hearing them talk and their desire just to walk with the Lord, to see their families do well, I'm like, this is different. there's a different something in the air. I believe with all my heart the Lord is getting ready to pour his spirit upon his church. Because here's where it starts, is with his church. We have the spirit in us in a hopeless world that is crumbling, where suicide is up 30%. That is hope. There's hopeless people there. We have the hope. We're not the hope. We have the hope. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have the answer. We have the light. We can tell people there's a better way. There's a different way. There is hope in Jesus for forgiveness of sin, for redemption, for a new life, for a new beginning. There is. And it's here. It's in us. The treasure is in us. If you're a child of God, it's in you. We need to use that. Redeem the time. It's like burning in my heart. It's like boiling. You know, when you do the pressure cooker, the Instapot, it's like you hear it brewing. It's brewing. It's almost tangible. We talk about it. It's like, man, something's up. And we want to be ready. We want to be, like Peter would say in chapter 4, he said, take our prayers seriously. Dig in deeper. Go for it. The work that we do for the Lord is eternal. It's joyful. And it's worth it. It's time to get going. It's time to do it. And if you're going to take the sports analogy, it's time to pick up the helmet, the bat, put on the cleats, and charge the field. You are empowered. We are empowered from above. The Spirit of the living God is in us. My goodness. It's like, I believe, like if you were to put it in an analogy, like the church is the biggest sleeping giant. It's just there. The power that's in us and available to us to take on this world and reach people for Jesus, to see lives changed, to see people saved, it's there. It's like diamonds right there, just waiting to be used, fired, just waiting to be used for the Lord. But we all must make a decision. See, the Lord, he's a gentleman. He's not going to force his will on anybody. He's not going to wake me up at 3 in the morning, twist my arm, and say, you pray. No. He lets us choose. I pray we will be Isaiah's, right? Who will I send? Here I am, Lord, send me. I pray that's what we will do. Because the days are evil. Time is moving quickly, fast, and there's a world that is so ready to hear that there is hope. The Lord, like I said, is like working. I see it is working. I come from Southern California, and the church I used to go to, there's a bunch of surfers, and we used to go to the beach, and the guys that were really good surfers, like that were pros before, they will look at the waves, and they will see the waves coming. And they go like, not yet, it's brewing, it's coming. And they will look, and I'm like, oh, look. And they're like, nope, dead. And they'll be like, it's going to get good really quick. And there's a sandbar, the wind is blowing this way, and this guy's cool, like read the waves, and all of a sudden the big waves just start firing. That's what they call it. It's like, boom, 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 and all the surfers are charging those waves. I feel like that's us right now. We're watching the wave brewing. Something's coming, it's going to start firing. And you want to get on that. You want to be part of what the Lord is doing in this world. You do. You don't want to miss out. Because, again, it's eternal. When you get to heaven and people are there because you pray for them and you share and you love them, guess what? You're going to be pretty happy. You're going to be like, yeah. I often have this vision. It's like, when I get to heaven, I wonder the people that got saved through me praying for somebody that I'll never get to meet, right? Like when you pray for missions or the persecuted church or, you know, your neighbors and you don't know. I wonder if people are going to come up and say, hey, you pray for me when you drove by that day or when you saw me or you saw my kids and you pray for them. I'm looking forward to hear those stories for eternity. It's like, really? It's like, oh, yeah. This is what we have now. Today is what we have to make an impact for eternity in people's lives. That's why we're here. Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples, teaching them the things that I've taught you. Go for it. That's what you were saved. We were saved so we can live and work for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who calls the shots. Now, you know, it's a terrifying, yes. Is it hard? Yes. It's a battle. But if you've seen the movie The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. You know, Disney came out with it a couple years ago, and I told my son, you got to read the book before you watch the movie. So he read it right away, and he watched it. There's a scene where Peter and Edmund and Lucy are fighting against the witch, you know, and all those demons, and that big field. I don't know if you could, everybody's kind of like, what are you talking about? Anyway, there's a scene where there's a big battle, and Peter goes like, for Aslan. Aslan is the lion, like, represented as Jesus. And he's fighting against the witch, and the witch is winning. The witch is being the devil. There come Aslan, risen from the grave, and charges behind Peter. And he's like, boom, takes out the witch, takes out everybody. It's like victory. That's us. Amen? That one day we're going to be there, we win. We fight from victory, not for victory. We're going to heaven. It's reality. Aslan is coming. Ha! He is. So is it terrifying? Yeah. Is it going to take time? Absolutely. Will there be scratches and bumps and bruises on the way? True. But is it worth it? And we have a chance today. The time in your hands that you have, you can use. Would you have time? If you look at your own life, you won't have time. Here's the best theology I got when I was a younger guy. I was going to Bible college. They asked me at church if I could teach the junior hires. And I said no. Right away. I didn't even pray about it. Like, no. Why? By the way, I'm the junior high pastor, and my name is Raul. And I forgot to tell you who I was. Now you know. You were like, who is that guy talking up there? He hasn't told his name, and what does he do here? Okay, I'm the junior high pastor. My name is Raul. Now you know. Okay. So I said no. But I feel bad about saying no. So I emailed my Bible college teacher. And I'm like, dude, what do I do? Like, this long story. And he's like, dude, you just have to pull a Nike. Just do it. That's all he said. I'm like, huh, just do it. Yeah. He didn't open the Bible and tell me all the reasons why we need to serve. And no, he's like, dude, just do it. Pull a Nike. I wonder if that's what we have to do. Pull a Nike and just do it. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, go in your own strength and do it. No, you're here. You're empowered. You're saved. Jesus is in you. The gifts are there. Just do it. Would you have time? No. Just do it. I don't know how I do things with four kids and a dog that they get done. Just do it. Pull a Nike. First Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Whatever we do for the Lord is never wasted. It's never in vain. Never. Absolutely. I used to tell, I tell even the youth today, God has this unbelievable accounting software system that he's able to track everything that's ever been done for him with the motives and everything. And one day we don't see it. We don't have it stored. One day we're going to see it. It's like, whoa, our labor for the Lord is not in vain. Our labor for the world, it is. Are you with me? The glory of man, the crown. Yeah. My old pastor, he became the number one surfer in the world in 1980s, and that's all he wanted to do in life. And he said that when he won the Pat Masters line there in Hawaii, he lifted the trophy and ESPN and all this. They're all there, and he's like, glory. And then a big old storm rolled in, and everybody left, and he's at the beach, and they took the trophy. He's on the beach by himself with no trophy and everybody's gone. His moment of glory. And he went into this depression. He had to be hospitalized because everything he wanted to do in life was the glory of man. And he became number one in the world. And it's like, take the trophy. Cameras are gone. It's like one of the best stories ever. He got saved through that. And now he uses that. But the glory of man is fading. It's just like, but for the Lord, it's never in vain. Never. In verse 17, it says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It is a terrifying thing as a Christian to say, Lord, whatever you want to do with my life, do it. I did that. I'm like, Lord, I'm not going there. Can I just have my will? I'm saved, so I'm cool. I can go to heaven, but can't I just do my own thing? It is hard as a human to say, if I surrender everything to God, my will, my life, he is going to send me to the mission field. To Africa. And me, how I love snakes. And I'm going to have to wrestle snakes all my life for the Lord. That's such a lie from the enemy. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I'm paraphrasing here, says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice and find out, which is your reasonable service, and find out what is the pleasing and perfect will of God. God's will for you and me, it's perfect. You will be, if you surrender to the Lord completely and says, Lord, take it all, do what you want, you look back months, years down the road, and you're going to be able to say, it was perfect. Not a wasted minute. It was perfect to walk with the Lord. It was perfect. I can say that in my shorter journey with the Lord, 17 years, I can look back and it's like, it's been perfect. Hasn't been rough at times, yes, but it's so perfect. Walking with the Lord. Good times, rough times, they have come and gone, but it's been really good. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to be really, really stoked. I met once a man, my grandpa, he's dead, who wasted a lifetime. He was a wicked man. He actually said that when he got baptized. I was a wicked man. And I remember when they diagnosed him with his terminal illness, he had less than a year, about a year to live. And I saw somebody that was running out of time, frantically trying to do things right. Well, one thing, he got saved. That's the number one thing. When your days are numbered, you go like, let's get saved. Let's make it to heaven. Okay, what do we have from there? He will get the phone and call people. Say, I'm sorry, I apologize. And I saw his health just fade away so quickly. And he wanted more time. He wanted to see grandkids. He wanted to see great-grandkids. It was just time was short. We have today. I don't know how many years, months, hours you have in front of you. But it's not wasted. It can be redeemed by the Jesus. And you can work for the Lord so that when your time comes, you can just be like, I'm ready to go. I got on a plane a few years ago at LAX, Los Angeles. I was going to Vegas, short flight. And, if you've been to LAX, flights take off over the water. And they go and do a big loop in the ocean and go inland, if that's where you're going. This plane took off. And it kept doing circles around Catalina Island. No, very quickly people go like, what is happening here? And I'm just looking at the water, water, water. So finally the pilot comes on and says, folks, I'm sorry to tell you, the landing gear is not going up. So we got to unload some fuel because the plane's too heavy. And then we got to land back in LA. Oh my goodness, that plane. I have never seen so many people freaking out at once. Like, and my father-in-law's next to me, he ties his seatbelt, like, I'm like, whoa, and everybody's freaking out. I'm not saying this with pride, but I was not. I was like, okay, well, if this is the way I'm going to go, what can I do? I can't get into the pilot, the cockpit, and be like, hey, let me take this. What? What am I going to do? Just sit there. I prayed that morning for my family, my kids. I'm like, Lord, I have no regrets. I've been walking with you. If this is the way it's going to go, it's going to go. And I actually had peace, the peace that passes understanding in my heart. I'm like, I'm good. And I kept looking at the ground. I'm like, oh, we'll see if the landing gear is still good. We'll find out. But everybody's freaking out. And I'm like, why do I have this peace? Why? Because it's Christ in us. You have peace. You have peace that the world wishes they can buy. We have it. If that's the way you're going to go, you're going to go. But it's not a wasted life. The longer you reject Jesus, the longer I fight my will against him, either for salvation or for what he has, especially for salvation, your heart gets hard. I had a plan at 12 years old. You want to hear it? It's a great plan. 12-year-olds have the best plans. I said, I'm in sin. I know I need to be saved to go to heaven. So I'm just going to party like a boss from 12 to 70. Okay, that was my plan. At 70 years old, I'll get saved. Then 70, the eternity, I'll make it to heaven. I actually told my uncle that plan. He's like, oh, okay. Well, nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. So that was the first flaw of my plan. And if you reject the Lord for 50 years, 60 years, what makes you think your heart is going to be any softer at 70 than when you're 12? I met a man. His name was Jimmy. I say was because he's dead. The place I worked, and in California, Jimmy used to come, a British man. It was hard for him to breathe and walk. He took very short steps. He bought some stuff from our company. And he came and went, and he was a little bit of a talker. And this one time he came, and we were walking a hallway, and I walked. He had a button-up shirt, and, you know, the buttons were kind of open. In his chest, as I walked past him, I saw a hole, a black hole in his chest, like a black hole. And I'm like, and it's like the Lord's like, talk to him now. So I go, I say, hey, Jamie, what's up? And he was a British man, you know, he has this accent. And I'm like, how are you doing? He said, not good. So I started talking about Jesus with him. And he said, oh, Raul, you don't even know what I've done. I was born in England. I was a miner, and I coal mining, you know, and I used to smoke cigarettes and coal mine. And that's why my lungs are like this. I can't breathe. I did so many bad things when I was young. There's no forgiveness for me. I said, oh, no, Jimmy, there is forgiveness. Jesus can save you. He said, oh, no, not me. I've done so many bad things. I said, no, Jimmy. Now, Jimmy cannot walk very fast, and his car is outside. I'm chasing him. He's trying to get away from me, but he can't. I'm like, Jimmy, you're not. If you haven't figured this out, you can't get rid of me yet. I pleaded with that man all the way to his car. And I said, but Jesus can save you. But if you die without him, it's hell. And he said, well, we'll see. And with that, he got in his truck. I never saw him again. Ah, man. I'm like, the Lord was there, giving him a chance. Within a week, his phones were disconnected. He was gone. I knew it. That black hole was terrible. Wasted. See, but we're not Jimmy's, right? We have today. And I don't know if we have anybody here that's been wasting time, like, for the Lord. I don't know if you're redeeming the time. I don't know. But here's what Moses wrote, Psalm 90, verse 12. It says, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That's very wise. To number, teach us to number our days, what's ahead of us, what's all gonna be, to redeem this time, to use what we have. I read a book once that says, well, the one thing that you cannot do in heaven is evangelize. It's true, everybody's saved already. But while you're on earth, you can. We can pray for salvation of those people with a heart of stone. God can save, God can redeem. Paul, when he was about to go, this is a very famous verse, you probably know, 2 Timothy 4, 6, 8, it says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Wouldn't that be cool to finish our journey, whenever that is, with that peace? I said, I fought the good fight, I kept the faith, I finished the race. I want to do that. That's my desire. And by God's grace, I will. But it's something that we got to determine in our hearts to do. We all want to finish well. We all want to leave a godly legacy for the next generation that comes behind us, don't we? How cool to say, whether a plane is going down or, you know, whatever comes out of nowhere, that you go like, no regrets. The time that I had was used for the kingdom. Not with the motive of being prideful, but the Lord knows. People were saved. People were touched for eternity. That's how we want to use our time. That's how we want to finish. I pray that we have a sense of urgency, that His church has a sense of urgency for the lost, for the work to be done. I pray that we will pray harder than ever, dig deeper. Ask the Lord, what would you have me do with the little or big amount of time that I have on my day, on my week, on my month? What is your will, Lord? What do you have for me? How do I redeem this time? How do I finish well? How do I run this race? How do I finish like Paul? Now, something that is inevitable is as you seek the Lord, as you dig deeper, if you will, as you pray, it's just a matter of time before you start seeing things happening. I mean, as we start to pray, walk in righteousness, seek his face, pray for his kingdom to come and will be done, I guarantee you that things will begin to happen. Power, anointing, boldness will come. Because you see, we're seeking a living, all-powerful God who's alive and hears us. And Peter, I don't know what verse, and this is 1 Peter, it says, like, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. So you can, it's like math. And I'm not much of a math guy, but it's like math. You seek the Lord, you walk in righteousness, his ears are open to your prayers, you'll begin to see things happening around you in the supernatural. People getting saved, getting convicted of their sins. It's time. It's time to put aside whatever is delaying us, you know, get rid of the sin that so easily ensnares us. Habits that ought not to be. It's time to kick him to the curb. We're living for eternity. It's reality. We're going to be there. And we want to finish like Paul says, hey, we did it. Prove me now. The verse for the year, we're halfway through a year, a little bit more. Prove me now. Prove his faithfulness, his power, his strengthening as you seek him and you worship him and you say, Lord, use me. Prove him. He will use you. I'm catching things at a whole new level lately. I'm not saying, oh, wow, you're so spiritual. No. Like even in my own heart, I'm seeing things and there's a fire brewing. And I'm seeing it a lot. And it's like, it's coming. It's the wave. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. You want to be part of it. Spurgeon said this in one of his many messages, which I thought it was really cool. Listen to this. It says, let Jesus speak through your mouth and weep through your eyes and smile through your face. Let him work with your hands and walk within your feet and be tender with your heart. Let him seek sinners through you. Let him comfort saints through you until the day breaks and the shadows flee away. Isn't that beautiful? Only Spurgeon can do that. I mean, it's like, wow. Let him use you. Do what you need to do. Pull a Nike. Just do it. In Jesus' name, he will give you the strength you need. Now, we talk about redeeming the time and finding out the will of God. I'm going to tell you, if you're not saved today in this room, I can tell you right now what the will of God is for you to get saved. It is God's not willing that any should perish, but all will come to repentance. I'm saving you some time. You need to figure it out. The will of God is for you to get saved. That simple. The Bible says if you hear his voice in Hebrews 3:5, harden not your heart. If the Lord spoke to you about redeeming your time or wasting your time or whatever, harden not your heart. Don't be a Jimmy. Don't be a Jimmy. Let the new beginning start, whatever that may look like. Pushing sin away, starting this, engaging in that, whatever it is. Harden not your heart if the Lord is tugging in your heart this morning. See, Paul says, redeem the time, for the days are evil. But Jesus is the ultimate redeemer. He died to redeem you and me. He bought you with his own blood. Our redeemer, Jesus, is ready to save, to restore, to move, to change, to give a new beginning for those that don't know him, or if you've been fighting him, for you that have been fighting him. He's ready. He's the ultimate redeemer. Paul is like, redeem the time. And Jesus is like, I'm the ultimate redeemer. I can redeem whatever mess you have in your hands, whatever mess you left behind, wherever you came from, whatever mess happened last night or last week. I can redeem that. I can restore it like that. I have the power to do that. He is Jesus, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Think about it. You just come. Just come to him if you hear his voice. The ultimate redeemer is ready to redeem you. You may have been wasting your time. Oh, man. God loves you. He loves you. Whatever mess, whatever, he can redeem. Nobody is beyond his reach. His ear is not heavy that he cannot hear, neither is his arm short that he cannot reach. I love to see people get saved, especially the ones that have a really, really bad, you know, background or tough. I see them and I go like, wow, trophy of grace. Not the trophy that the World Cup guys are getting right now. Trophy of grace. He saved. I pray for two things for his church today: to get up, get going, be busy, occupy until he comes. Reach those around you, the neighbors, your coworkers, your family that need him. I pray that we will have that fire in us. And if you are not saved, I pray that you will come to Jesus today. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is not promised to anyone. In fact, 2 hours from now is not promised to anybody in this room. If you don't have Jesus, you need to. And you watch and wait and see what he will do. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. I pray that your church, this group, Lord, we will be those that redeem the time. We'll be those that take what's been given to us, be good stewards, and use it for your glory. I pray that we will put a Nike and just do it by your power. And that you set a fire in your church, Lord, in our hearts, that will spread, Lord, and many lost will come to know you. And as our eyes close and heads are bowed, if you're here this morning and you've been wasting your time, your life is a mess, I don't know. If you need Jesus, if you need to be saved, I would love to pray for you. I'm not going to call you up here and embarrass you. I'm just going to pray for you right where you're at. If that's you, would you raise your hand right now and we will pray. Anybody? Lord, thank you. Thank you for your church. Thank you for your people. I pray that we will go out these doors filled with your spirit, empowered by you, Lord, to reach the world around us. We thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're a first-time visitor, I'd love...